The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back in, Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole Kubrick and Roman Harper filling in. You asked me the color that I would wear. Orange, it just pops. Navy, that's more of an everyday color, obviously, okay. that people kind of just wear. White, obviously, is just a neutral color for a lot of different people, but the orange pops. It's a little different than Florida's orange, I think, and obviously different than Tennessee's orange. That's one thing you have to yourself.
Now, are you wearing orange like hoodie, pullover, with this? Like, for me personally, if I was an Auburn guy, which I'm not, it was one of the reasons I chose Alabama, actually, because I my high school colors were closer to Alabama's than Auburn's. I just didn't know how it would look in the orange and blue. But when you're 18, these are the decisions that you're making.
Sure.
All right. So I would go orange pullover, white sleeves underneath, okay. You know, blue shorts.
Yeah.
You know, probably the no-show socks. You know?
Okay.
That's my look. I know.
Probably quarter zip.
Quarter
orange
zip?
Orange quarter zip.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see, and Cole, the question started because Cole cares about his fashion. People don't know this. Well, they do know this, but Cole told me last night, hey, what are you wearing? Because I'm bringing some heat. And he's got the Jordans on his feet. I had dress shoes, and he was just like, it shocked him a little bit.
I was ready to go toe-to-toe, literally, with you, because you usually break out the Jordans, and that's usually where you want to go. So I said, you know what?
Show me some heat.
Ready to go.
There it is.
That's what you need.
Little Auburn love.
So, yes, got the Auburn socks. Had to have those.
North Carolina blue to go
neutral. Everything else except socks, and I show my socks, and now my Twitter mentions are going to go to hell. So,
it's all right. I only got just a regular. Can we use the other camera? Is it better?
I don't know. Get the right angle.
Let me go to the inside. There we go, the inside.
We got to work on your flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility. I mean, I got the socks, you know. There we go. Little polo.
There it is.
Yep. You know what I mean? Little polo down.
Like
shout
it.
Out.
Okay.
That's so about it, though.
Your fashion advice there from us for today. SEC scheduling has been a hot, hot topic for the last probably week and a half since we found out Texas, Oklahoma are going to come into the league early. The assumption, Roman, is it's going to go to a nine conference game schedule.
Yes.
And so you have three common opponents, probably no more divisions. Had Greg Sankey on our show, McElroy and Kubrick in the Morning on Jocks last week. He said, listen, we've been working mostly on a divisionless schedule system and how they're going to do it. So I thought it'd be interesting for you and I, at least, to have a discussion of who we would want as our three opponents, because one is going to be that we both agree upon. We believe Auburn and Alabama should play each other every year. That's
going
to be out. Some are very interesting. Some are really easy. Some are hard. Like Florida, I think, would be really tough.
Florida has way too many enemies out there.
Arkansas, really tough.
LSU's going to be really tough. I think LSU's another one that's really
tough. Let's start with Auburn and Alabama.
All right.
If you're in charge making the schedule, Alabama's three common opponents are?
Auburn, Tennessee. Then the other one is really hard to think about. I don't want LSU every year because it's more of a new rivalry. I would go with probably Mississippi State. Closest team in location.
I was going to say, I like the proximity.
Yes.
That is usually a lot of times a good game, maybe a better game than people think. Maybe two of the last three hadn't been so great for one way. But I'm fine with that.
Because I want it to even out overall.
I get it, but the Alabama LSU, man, that one, that's a ratings bonanza. You want those numbers every year. You want those numbers. That's tough. It's
but as a coach, I don't want to play the top three in the SEC West every year. Who does Auburn want, Cole, if it's up to you?
If it's up to me, Alabama's there, obviously. Georgia's got to be there. That one has to be there. I think there's a lot of ways that you could kind of go. If you remember, there was a time, probably right when you went to school, right after I left Auburn, that LSU-Auburn was a massive game.
Yes, it was.
That was a big one. I would like to see one of the Mississippi schools. So let's say Alabama took Mississippi State. I would like for Auburn to play Ole Miss. LSU or Ole Miss would be my choice.
Yes.
Now, I've seen some of these that are mocked up that have South Carolina there. I don't really understand how and why that one would come into play. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, you get the proximity.
Yep.
Makes a little bit more sense. That's one that obviously I think would be fun to have. We'd be interested to hear from you guys, 855-242-7285, who you might want as your common opponents for whatever team you root for in the SEC if scheduling did go this direction. We'll go to Ted in Tuscaloosa on line six. Welcome into the show, Ted.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
How are you?
Very well. Well, how about Roll Eagle and War Tide?
We'll take it. Today we'll allow it.
Listen, you guys are doing a great job. I just wanted to comment that a classmate of mine from college, Tim McCarver, died today. And a lot of people don't know that besides playing baseball, Bear Bryant tried to recruit him as a tight end at Alabama.
Boy, we're sorry for your loss, Ted.
Sorry for that.
Definitely hate to hear that. Thoughts and prayers with you and your family and the Alabama family. And be thinking about you. Wish you the best. And obviously, go ahead. Sorry. Excuse me.
No worry. I got to take off, but thanks for talking.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's amazing the more stories that I hear about Bear Bryant. We have Wimp Sanderson on every week, and he'll tell stories about, you know, just going to see different sports, how much time he spent with baseball, how much time he spent with basketball. It's just, we only think of him as this football coach that's this larger than life figure there, but his fingerprints were all over that athletic department during his time in Tuscaloosa. Susie is in Georgia. Welcome into the show, Susie.
Hello, Cole and Roman.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Susie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Before I mention something else, I hope Paul is okay. I didn't see the beginning of the show. I hope he's getting a day off and not sick, that he's not there today.
Paul is just fine.
Oh, good, 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 good. Well, it's nice to see both of you. I wanted to say that I really, really enjoyed Dr. Pasquez. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Pasquez, yes, ma'am.
Pasquez. I really, really enjoyed his little history lesson on Mardi Gras. That was something different on the show, and I learned a lot from it. I'm Catholic, but I never really dug into, you know, the history behind Mardi Gras, just the fun at Mardi Gras that you see. I've been to New Orleans 2 times, and it's just a fabulous city and a fun place to go. So my thing when you were asking him what he is going to give up for Lent, and what I have started to do instead of giving up something, because I give it up and then I don't follow through, unfortunately, on it, is I get a bag, like a trash bag, and every day during Lent, I put a piece of clothing in there that I want to donate to Goodwill or, you know, some needy cause. And I do that for all of Lent. And then when Lent is over, I give that bag somewhere. So that's kind of a different idea.
Susie, that's a great idea. You're essentially giving up those articles of clothing, so I feel like it works. I feel like that's fantastic. Yeah. I like that idea.
I do, too.
And, Roman, I have to say to you, you are the best dresser I have ever watched on TV. Every time I see you, you are just you're styling. I really like your sense.
Susie, do you watch SEC Nation on Saturday mornings? There's a young man by the name of Jordan Rogers. His hair goes straight up in the air.
That can't touch me. Uh-huh.
He would take offense to that statement.
He wouldn't. Jordan tells me all the time. He's like, dude, I do well, but just not as well as you. So thank you, Susie.
I don't believe that.
And I do like Jordan and the way he dresses. And I'm a 74-year-old retired school teacher. So it's kind of nice to watch you young men dress to the nines, but your sense of style, Roman, is really good. Do you have your own clothing line?
I do not have my own clothing line,
NIL,
but since you bring it up, Miss Susie, I think I should maybe start looking into that. I'm going to New Orleans where I get my suits from my suit guys down there, Fellow Menswear. Shout out to them for that free plug. Same way as the guy with the website earlier. So I guess it's all good on Paul Feinbaum today, but. I just kind of dress myself and do what I want. So I knew today we're going to be talking to Dr. Pasquez, and we're going to talk about some Mardi Gras. So I want to wear some green color for that, and also my Mardi Gras mask. So it's just always the thought
you
that matters.
You did a lot. I was impressed.
Thank you. Thank you, Cole.
I win in the kicks department, but I'll
you do win in the kicks
I'll
department
the
today.
I'll give you the rest.
A little mad at myself for that.
Let's go to Peggy in Tennessee. Welcome into the show, Peggy.
Oh, my goodness, guys. I'll tell you, you have to be dedicated to call in. I have been trying to call in for a few days, and main reason I wanted to call, I called in, I was listening the other day, and it was the day before Valentine's Day, and you had a gentleman on there, and he went by, I believe he said legend, and he was talking about this. He was asking Paul about, he said, look, he had got a Valentine's present. And it was, he said, if you ever got something from somebody and it's just so unexpected and you didn't see it coming, and it just warmed your own, you know, cold, hard heart. And he said he had Valentine's Day from Georgia. And I just wanted to say I got the same kind of Valentine's present yesterday, but mine came from Alabama. 26 roses in the form of crimson turnovers. Points, I mean, that resulted. I'm just ecstatic, and I wanted to thank him publicly for my present. I didn't see it coming. Well, Peggy, and I'm just so happy. Thank you.
No, thank you for calling. I'm personally glad you waited 3 days to get in with that.
Not only that, but she wouldn't have had three days ago, she wouldn't have had such a great present to celebrate.
Well, now he called day before, and look, he said that it wasn't even going to be close. You know, he told Paul that Alabama's going to mop the floor with it so bad. It wasn't even going to be close. He was betting, I believe he said 200 on the game, I think a parlay, and he was still picking Alabama, Kentucky, and if I'm not mistaken, Florida. How'd he make out on that?
Yeah, he had two or three. Maybe stay away from the parlay. That's what I've always been taught. Peggy, thank you so much for the time.
That's just what he was saying. He was so entertaining. I just wanted to thank him for my flowers.
Not as entertaining as you've been today. So thank you for the call.
Hey, listen, I used to be John Ward's waitress at the Open Hearth back in the 80s. I've got a real cool story, so I'll call y'all back sometime. I'll be a Tennessee lady calling in from time to time.
That sounds great. We won't make you wait 3 days next time. Thank you so much. That's Peggy in Tennessee.
She's got stories. She's going to not wait next time for 3 days.
We've got stories when we come back next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Feinbaum Show, Roman Harper, Cole Kublik filling in. Saw this tweet coming from the Feinbaum account, Roman, just a few minutes ago. You could have any job in the world for 24 hours. What would it be?
You know, Cole, I'm a pretty conservative dude most of the times, but if I could have a job for 24 hours, I want it to be pretty extreme. I'm going with like a F-22 Raptor fighter pilot. Like I want to fly a plane. I want to drop bombs. I want to be as close to Call of Duty Modern Warfare as possible without dying. So
I wrote mine down literally right there. I wrote two of them down. If you can see it. I don't know if the camera's going to be able to get it or not.
Nope, can't see it.
Look at the top one right there.
You put fighter pilot?
Fighter pilot, number one. It's the worst handwriting possible, that's for sure. Number two, be heavyweight champion of the world.
Ah,
is there a better?
You want to take on Tyson Fury?
But if I'm the champ, then I've got to be pretty good.
You do.
If I got any one of the 11 belts that are out there, I got to be pretty good, right? I mean, I got a belt now. Some context would come with that. Like I'm going to be pretty good. Like, I don't want to back into that thing like some other guys have in certain points in time.
So is this like
I want to be Anthony Joshua?
Is this the day after the match or match day?
No, oh,
like
no.
Is this fight night?
If
are you
I
in
had,
the
like,
ring?
You give me Deontay Wilder's right hand. I want to go see what I can do with it.
Yeah, you want to go in the ring?
Let's go.
This is awesome.
Let's go.
Okay.
You give me Mike Tyson's uppercut back in the day. I want to see what that feels like. But fighter pilot, can you imagine anything cooler than that?
No, I can't.
Especially with all these things we got flying around right now. I'll go take it down.
I will. Let's go. I'll be in the back.
I don't think I'd fit, but but that would be up there. Yeah. There's so much context that comes with that question. Do you want something responsible where you can make a difference?
No.
It's just purely just entertainment value?
I'm pure entertainment value. Like, I make a difference every day. I got four kids. I'm working every day. I want to have fun.
Like, do you want to be a CEO of a bank and just wire transfer all the money to your account and say, well, it's not my job anymore. Sorry for that. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Why are you even thinking about that?
Let's go back to the phones. Shaw is in Georgia on line two. Welcome in, Shaw.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. How are you?
Good.
All righty. As you can see, I'm from Georgia, and I coached one of the players that was Herschel Walker's roommate in the 1980s, and we've come back now and been great. Of course, we've been reliable and pretty good since, I'd say, 2010. On the situation. We had one team that they'd beaten Alabama like they should have one time. They probably would have been national champs. But I just want to ask Roland. Roland, have you owed up for not supporting Georgia, not understanding, or not thinking Georgia was going to win?
What game did I pick Georgia to lose outside of Tennessee this past year?
Well, you stayed a long time on Tennessee. You didn't pick them to lose after that.
Georgia? When did I pick Georgia to lose after that? I did not.
I picked them to lose to Ohio State.
No. I told everybody, once
shame
Georgia
on
beat
you.
Tennessee, Georgia to me is now the new college football standard. And when you are the standard, Roman Harper's not going to pick against you until you prove me otherwise. And so that is why I chose them. I actually thought the game wouldn't even be close versus Ohio State. So I was actually wrong.
Well, and I'm just kidding with you because I really think you have a good mind on. I was scared about Tennessee, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I picked Tennessee to beat you guys just because preseason-wise, I said they would do it, so I just wanted to be right. Looking at the matchup, it was a great day for Georgia, and they really proved everybody how dominant they were.
I wanted to be one of the guys that called in and didn't talk about anybody else, just talked about Georgia. We're not worried about everybody else. But the thing is now, you got to do what you got to do. It doesn't matter what everybody else says, you got to play your game. And do what you do, and that's what Kirby does. We're really proud of him down here, and I won't just talk about a 3-peat. It doesn't matter to you, strap it up. You can talk what you want. That doesn't count at all. But I do appreciate both of you, man. I'm enjoying y'all here today.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'll tell you this.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm not picking against Georgia until December.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to do
it. I'm going to throw it out there.
Sean, don't listen to lies. Roman's not picking against Georgia.
Minimum December.
Oh, yes, sir.
At least December. Let's go to line four, Jeff in Georgia. Welcome in, Jeff.
Hey, man. How y'all?
We're great. How are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I got a question. It's just a general scholarship question. If you're a football player at University of ABC, in your third year you go pro, do not have a college degree, play pros 4 or 5 years, come back on the future degree, are you on the hook for that now? Is the university still paying for part of that?
There are multiple ways around that. I think some of it depends on the duration between. Like, I don't think just you can say 22 years later, you make this decision that you want to come back, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, here's your full scholarship. I think most of the times the tuition is at least covered.
Mm-hmm.
But different schools operate in different ways as far as what I understand about that.
Correct. And I was an example of that. I went to school for four years, and then all of a sudden I was 2 credits short. I went, played football for 2 years, and then came back. My scholarship still allowed me to enroll, and they took care of it. And if not, if you play 4 to 5 years, you would be termed vested, which is 4 years in the league and 4 games. So now you are able to get all benefits, and then also the NFL will pay for your education. If once you get in and you want to go back and finish your degree or any other degrees after that, the NFL does pay for it. So that is how that would be handled.
Okay. All right. So if the general scholarship fund that paid for your first 3 years, you leave and never come back, what happens to the balance of that money that was set aside for that player to get rolled back to the general scholarship fund?
Well, most schools are always going to be at or very close to 85 mm-hmm. scholarships, whether that be – that's why you see all these coaches doing these magic tricks during 2 days, and they're like, oh, so-and-so's on scholarship. They weren't at 85. That's why that happens. It's not
exactly
because all of a sudden they feel great for the kid. They just know they're not going to use that on somebody else that they thought would potentially be coming in. So that money's going to be there for 85 scholarships either way.
And they usually give it to an older player because he's only going to be using it for a year. So then we're going to be able to give
that. Most of the time when you see those magic tricks, it's for the fall.
Yes, exactly.
You don't hear about that, though. Thank you, Jeff. Great call. I appreciate it. You know, we don't hear about the NFL doing that enough.
No.
Major League Baseball, we always hear about that. The high school players go and they say, well, you know, the best part about this being drafted and going – playing in the minor leagues is they'll always pay for my school coming
always.
Back. We don't hear about that from an NFL perspective.
No, they don't. And, Cole, look, it was really cool because, you know, that offseason, my coach and them wanted me to stay closer to New Orleans. They want me to train there. They want to be at the facility. But I was like, I want to go finish my degree. I'm a couple credits short. And I always promised my mom I would do it.
Sure.
So once I get my paper, I'm going to give it to her and I'll move on. Still haven't really used it since that day. But I did go back and get it. The NFL sent me a football with my name, like a game day ball, like a game ball, saying you get your degree, all these other things. So they do try and celebrate it, but it's not something they talk about enough.
Yeah, that's really cool, though. Just don't hear a ton about that. Jeff in Alabama, line one. Welcome in, Jeff.
How y'all doing, man?
Doing great, thanks.
I listen to the guy. What's his name, JK or CK, the Bama hater?
Oh, JK.
Yeah, Bama hater.
Cole's boy.
Yeah, Cole's in. I listened to one of the shows this morning. It might have been your show, Cole. And listened to this afternoon. And is that not hilarious? A guy that's supposed to be a Miami fan dishing another team.
He fits in well in this conference because we know how to hate more than we know how to love to love.
Well,
but
that's so true.
I'm about decided this. I think he's the only caller on y'all show that his IQ is smaller than his shoe size.
Well, I don't know his shoe size, so I wouldn't be able to comment on it, Jeff. But he is something else. So I appreciate it. All right, when we come back, I want to know what Matt Stinchcomb would do for 24 hours.
That is a great question. I would love to know that, too. And are you and JK going to make a hug it out?
No.
Probably not? Okay.
He's not letting it go.
And the Auburn fans, would they rather Alabama lose or Auburn win on a Saturday?
Come on. You know the answer to that. I don't have to answer that.
I don't know.
That thought process has not been working out well for the last 10 years, though, I'll tell you that. Matt Stinchcomb, all-time great Georgia Bulldog, joins us next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back into the Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole Kubrick, Roman Harper filling in today. It's been a fun show so far. And I know this next segment is going to be even more fun because Matt Stinchcomb of the SEC Network going to join us. Former Georgia great, offensive lineman. So
Hall of Famer.
You always know that offensive linemen are going to bring it each and every time. Stinch, I want to start with this. Feinbaum tweeted out a little bit earlier. I don't know how he does that with his day off, by the way, but he finds a way to get to the Twitter. You could have one job, any job on planet Earth, for 24 hours. What would that job be?
Wow. Just for 24 hours?
Only 24.
Do I get to keep anything?
It's your job.
All right. Then I would be the quality control guy for the Mars Candy Company.
And
out of everything, that's what you go with.
That's fair. As skinny as you are these days,
if I can't take anything with me, I can only do it for a day. I can't keep anything. It'd be like being Willy Wonka for a day.
Well, what pallets of what candies are you having shipped to your home is what we need to know.
So I can keep stuff. That changes everything. If I can keep stuff, then now we're doing something different, I think, for the 24 hours. But sticking with the original premise, so we'd start with the plain M&Ms. Then we'd work our way down. We'd probably get the peanut M&Ms.
For sure.
I don't believe in the Nestle's, but I would get them for guests because some people actually eat that stuff. And then I'd finish off with the peanut butter ones, which is a total ripoff of Reese's, but
I disagree with that. I feel like the peanut butter tastes totally different in Reese's Pieces and peanut butter M&M's.
No, you're right. The taste is different. The concept is exactly the same. The execution, is very different. And theirs are far better.
Well, it's just like all Arnold Schwarzenegger movies have been ripped off at some point in time. Like Commando is taken. We've already done that. They stole his daughter and took her away.
Running
we did that.
Running Man is
Hunger Games. We did it. We did that movie. Roman, you didn't know this? True. All we do is steal Schwarzenegger movies and make them new again.
I don't think I ever thought about it that way, but when you make me think about it, you guys have a lot of truth to a lot of things you're saying.
You know what? Hey, listen, have you seen Citizen Kane? All that is Kindergarten. That's Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop's legendary. Stinch, all right, we got to talk a little bit of ball since we got you here. Now, Todd Monken has moved on. He's now the OC at Baltimore. Number one, do you have an opinion on that? And also, your former teammate, Mike Bobo, now coming back to the University of Georgia, filling in. I'm not so worried about the play calling as much as I am the fans around now bringing back a coach that was formerly there when Georgia was not as successful as they are now. Do they have the taste for it?
You know what? I don't care. I genuinely do not care. The people, I do find it humorous. This entire situation. I'll back up. Todd Monken, I thought he did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. I think that his departure does not mean that the offense will now crumble, and don't forget about the forward pass, and that it is in fact legal. And what's fascinating to me is that the fan base. The incredibly informed and really many of them are experts. It's unfortunate that they never got into coaching because they're clearly very informed and sophisticated offensive minds that in their analysis that you could ask one detractor of this hire that supposedly is a Georgia fan and that didn't like the play calling before, what is it that you didn't like about it? You know what? He just didn't throw the ball enough. Okay. And that person will be sitting right next to, and also another detractor, and that guy screams the entire game, just run the damn ball, Bobo. Now, how can those two human beings coexist within the same fan base? And yet, they do. To this day, they do. The fan base right now is the same clowns that were so beside themselves that Stetson Bennett was returning. Why return? Just ride off into the sunset, man. We need us a 5-star. That's the same guy. And so what comes in handy is, it's. I think Mark Cuban said this first. I think it's genius. It's that, hey, if the idiots among us, if they stopped talking, it would be harder for us to spot them.
It's a great quote from a great man. Matt Stinchcomb, former Georgia great, joining us now. Talking this Georgia football team heading into spring, you brought up 5-star quarterbacks. Do you believe Coach Bobo taking over changes the direction of the quarterback position this spring and then into the fall for the Bulldogs?
As far as the decision making, I don't know. I don't think so. Having seen the offense and the way that it operated, and hearing Kirby's comments. Because ultimately, it's not as if his hands are completely off the wheel as far as what it looks like, what that team looks like on both sides of the ball. And he mentioned on a number of occasions after the season that he looks at the quarterback position differently, and it's a mobility issue and the value that you would place on a quarterback that can not only extend plays but threaten the defense with his feet. And while Stetson Bennett was more than just a mobile quarterback, he could run the ball. He wasn't a running quarterback. That wasn't a staple of the offense. It was there, but it wasn't like it was something that they leaned on heavily. In fact, more than anything, it was a changeup and a really effective one at that. But to see the fact that when you look at it, the game, the way the game has, we'll call it evolved. Maybe it's devolved. There's not a lot of offensive fronts that can hold up consistently in pass protection anyway. You better have a quarterback that can move. The defensive lines and the rush is better than the protection. That I'll make my bets on that. And if that's the case, you better have a quarterback that can fix it. And part of it is playing fast in the pocket mentally, but the other is being able to just escape, extend plays, buy time, be mobile and evasive enough within the pocket. Mike Bobo's going to covet the same things and the same, I think, to the same extent. And so because of that, I don't think that the ultimate decision has changed that much just because you have a new play caller and Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator.
So, Stinch, when I look at Georgia under Kirby Smart, one thing that I never question is the ability in which they recruit and the defensive side of the football and the offensive side of the football. Every position except quarterback. You look at Stetson Bennett, how great he was to this Georgia University, University of Georgia. And he was the one guy that they wanted to shoo away two or three times, and he just wouldn't go away. Mm-hmm. Do you still believe that Georgia's next great quarterback, Kirby Smart, has recruited in there versus he got stuck with this one that just turned out great?
Yeah, well, look, the guy's been able to recruit at a relatively high level. I mean, he did sign Justin Fields. He didn't keep him.
Yeah.
Partly because he had another guy that he could win with that I want to say Fromm was, what, a four-star, I think? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So it's not as if he was some scrub that they, you know shined up and threw out there. they've recruited well. They've got guys that have that mobile element to their game. That's on their campus now. I don't know, and there's no inside baseball here. I don't know that the quarterback room right now is going to look the same as it will in August, or even, before May rolls around. We don't know that that's changed or that that's static, rather, at that position. And so because of that, there might be that quarterback that's already on that campus. They certainly recruited relatively well at that position. They might already be in that room, and they might come from another roster.
Stinch, you kind of brought up an interesting point of offensive lines not being able to protect versus the defensive players that we see this day and age. But Roman and I were chatting earlier. We just don't think there's as many scary guys on defense as there was even 3 years ago, much less 5, 10 years ago. All new offensive coordinators, all these new quarterbacks coming in. What's going to be better collectively in 2023, SEC offenses or SEC defenses?
That's a great question. It is an interesting observation, incidentally, especially when we're talking about like front seven defenders, money down defenders, the guys we are like, we better game plan for this cat or he wrecks the outcome of the game or could. It's an interesting point. I mean, who is this? This upcoming year, what's the next generation? You knew, Will Anderson Jr. You knew about a Jalen Carter. Who's the guy? That's an interesting observation. But that said, the broader ecosystem being disrupted with not only new coordinators and play callers, but new quarterbacks. You think about it, the Stetsons, the Hendon Hookers, the Will Levises, the Bryce Youngs, those guys are gone. And they were the most prominent, at least the most successful quarterbacks. If we want to include talent, the Anthony Richardsons of this conference. And so you would think that the offense takes a step back. I think that might be more a function of the disruption on the offensive side of the ball than it is an emergence or even an expansion of the really scary defenders. Because I'm just sitting here going off the top of my dome, who is that guy? Who's a front seven defender right now where you're going, hey, man, it's third and you got to have it on offense. We better have a locator on who? Who's that guy? And how many of them could we even come up with right now? It'd be a pretty short list.
Small handful. Stinch, always great stuff.
Great
we
job,
always appreciate
Stinch. Appreciate
the time.
You, brother. Thank
and
you.
It's always entertaining, always fun. I hope you get all the candy your heart desires.
What a job.
When you take that job for 24 hours. Send me some Reese's Pieces, please.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Stinch. Appreciate it. Matt Stinch comes joining us on the phones there. We'll have that conversation when we come back. Defensive players that are scary, you need a game plan for. Could just wreck an offensive game plan. How many are there coming back in the SEC this fall? And on the flip side of that, who are going to be the dudes at quarterback? Roman and I discuss that next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole Kubrick, Roman Harper, sitting in for Paul today. Been an absolute blast, and we talked with Matt Stinchcomb in our previous segment about SEC front sevens, SEC defensive lines, pass rush, offensive lines being able to hold up. And we're used to, it feels like, Roman, every single team having that guy, that dude, or either both on different sides, two guys, whether it's Simmons and Sweat at Mississippi State, yep, whether it's Brown and Davidson at Auburn. Last year, Anderson Turner at Alabama. Dallas Turner will be back. He would be one of those guys for me. It doesn't feel as plentiful on the defensive side when you're talking about front sevens of guys that can just wreck a game plan as it usually does in the Southeastern Conference going into 2023.
No, you don't. And it's probably this big explosion of what we've seen offensively, Cole, that offenses are continuing to dominate the SEC, that if you can't score, you won't win. And nor will you win if you don't have a quarterback as well. So quarterback and being able to put up points is at a premium right now in college football, especially throughout the SEC. When me and you played, I mean, if you got like 17 points, you had a chance. it's like that was the threshold. And so if you were able to get a kicker that can make a kick and score two touchdowns, you might have a chance at this
shot.
Yeah.
Get a turnover. There you go.
Now, who are your guys?
Harold Perkins is one of those guys. We've talked about him a couple of times today. He you can line him up anywhere. He can rush the passer off the edge. He can play off the ball linebacker, sideline to sideline. I think Matt House does a nice job using him in different ways. But Mason Smith's going to be back, too.
He's one of those guys inside. He's a completely game changer. The reason why LSU was not good at stopping the run was because they did not have
him. Big reason. I call Mason Smith a Vince McMahon first-round draft pick. Because when you see him, he's a guy that you say, if Vince McMahon saw that guy, he would give him a contract and put him in the ring right now. His makeup is you almost don't believe it.
He looks like the Big Show walking out. You know, that's what the music he should come out with. And then Mykael Williams,
freshman
from Georgia. He's on my list. Dallas Turner's another guy.
Jamin Dumas Johnson,
yes. Love him too. Smile Munden is a super athletic linebacker who's going to be really good at the next level because he's able to play a lot more coverage as well.
I think Alabama might have that guy back in the middle this year.
No, okay.
It's been a few years since they've had that dominant inside presence. You give Jaheim Otis an entire offseason to get ready where
when he got on
campus, it was all about shedding weight, got down to 360-ish, which he talked to their nutritionist there. He's 360 and has the best lean body mass of anybody that she's ever counted, which is just completely insane. So you think about all of that. There's not a ton of guys when you just go top to bottom and look at pass rushers and interior defensive linemen that can wreck things. Even a safety playing down in the box, we don't have a lot of those guys. So it leads you to believe the defenses might not be as good. But then all these new coordinators, how many big boy quarterbacks we got coming back next year?
Who's going to be that guy that comes out and just snatches everybody's opinion away? Say, okay, who's going to be the Joe Burrow and just come out and say, all right, I thought he was good, but I didn't know he was great. And for me right now, I don't have that person picked out. The quarterback I love is Will Rogers.
Fantastic.
But I don't know how great.
We don't even know what the offense is going to look like.
Yeah, I don't know how great they're going to be as a team, so he might not get all the love that he truly deserves.
You think about Jackson.
He will own every record book,
though.
You think
about who's in great spots. Jackson Dart is coming back.
Yes.
Has his offensive coordinator and his head coach back. We don't even know if he's going to start.
No.
Spencer Sanders coming in.
They brought in like three other quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is another quarterback that if he's healthy, if he finds his groove early in the season, you're really going to love what they can do because of all the success can carry over from last year.
I think Daniels is in the best spot.
Yes.
When you talk about weapons back, O-line back, coordinator Denbrock's back, they've got maybe the most things together to be able to help him be successful. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to talk to former NFL great Charles Peanut Tillman on the other side of the break. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.